Okay, we have come to the Jessica Holzer. Jessica Holzer is a PhD candidate in the Department of Health Policy and Management at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Her research interests include research ethics, engagement of communities in research, and health communication, as well as qualitative methodology. She has a master's degree in bioethics from Case Western Reserve University. You have the floor, my lady.
Thank you very much. Oh, and thank you, everyone, for attempting to remain awake at this point in the evening. So it's going to come up to the slide that says my name, which hopefully you already know. I'm Jess Holzer, PhD candidate at in the Department of Health Policy and Management at the School of Public Health. Thank you all for coming and for being here. And I have no relationships to disclose with the CTSAs or anything I'm going to be talking about today. And let's get into it. So I'm going to be reporting on work that's part of my dissertation, and it's looking at community engagement within the Clinical and Translational Science Award program. To start off, to give you a little bit of background, I'm sure many of you already have drunk the Kool-Aid that community engagement is important. And in terms of the reason why, is because it can really improve research, and it can make it more beneficial for the communities in particular and improve health in that regard. So the Clinical and Translational Science Award program, to my way of thinking, is actually providing some more attention to community engagement at a national level. And that has implications for other community engagement initiatives as well, I think, because the CTSAs are providing institutional-level support, whereas many other community-engaged projects end up at project or program levels. And this may open new opportunities and new doors for community engagement. And this is part of a larger dissertation project. Another part of the project is developing a framework that IRBs and researchers can use to evaluate research projects and whether or not they require community engagement to be truly ethical in nature. And then a follow-on project to this particular study is interviews with institutional representatives from the CTSAs that were involved in this project to ask them about their experiences. So what I'm going to be talking about community... Oh, we missed the slide. Oh, no, sorry. Background community engagement. It's supposed to be background on community. Community is a widely used term, and many people define it differently. We've already heard many different definitions of community on today's panel. So a lot of people use geographic, a lot of people maybe use disease communities, that sort of thing. So I'm approaching it very widely. And what's really important is that it's a term of personal identity for many of the people. People subscribe to certain communities, and it's of significance to them. And that's why we as researchers should value it, why it's important. Community engagement is also a widely used term, and I think that the uses of community will in many cases drive the types of community engagement that come to the fore. So this particular project is looking at community engagement within the CTSA program. So the CTSA program, for those who do not know, awards grants to academic medical institutions, and its goal is to improve the translation of research from bench to bedside and then from bedside into the community. And so that's why the community engagement becomes so important. So the academic medical institutions submit grants in which they provide plans for their community engagement strategies. And so far, there have been 60 academic medical institutions that have been awarded this funding. That's the maximum amount. And they're awarded five-year grants that then have renewals as well. All right, so this particular project aims to describe the way, quote, community is defined and described in the grants themselves, and also the community engagement practices that are described. So I started off with a cohort, the grant applications from the first 12 academic medical centers, which were awarded their CTSA funding in 2006 and have since gone through a renewal process. What I'll be reporting on today is the 2006 grant applications and analysis of community and community engagement within those, and a follow-on to that will be the 2010 and a comparison across the two. I've done a qualitative analysis, and with the help of another coder, we've made sure that the codes match and are appropriately structured. All right, so this is a picture to give you a sense of what specifications or definitions of community have come out of these grants. So you can see, based on the size of the words, the frequency with which it was showing up. So care providers were mentioned as a community in each of the grant applications. Community-based organizations were also frequently mentioned. University faculty and staff were also mentioned as their own independent community. You also have some that you'd maybe expect to see, such as geographic uses of community, and that includes terms like rural and urban as a sense of geography, and also racial, cultural, or ethnic heritage. Okay? And this is a table that tells you essentially the same thing. And I know some people do better with pictures and some people do better with numbers. Right? So just to give you a sense of what the language around community was, And all of this is public information, so the fact that I've identified this institution is not doesn't break with anything I promised them about my keeping their information private. So they've already mentioned, this is University of Pittsburgh, that they will engage the lay community, the health provider community, and a community of research investigators. So that gives you a sense of three separate communities that they're thinking of. And this is not this is not all of what they've said. This is just an idea. So again, this is Rockefeller, and you can see that they've taken a slightly different approach, and they've named some partners, but nevertheless, the partners begin to represent all the different domains that I laid out before. So you have religious as well as care providers with the Jewish Home and Hospital. You also have a special population in the sense of women being a special population and also a disease community around HIV, Latino being cultural or ethnic heritage, and then also educational. Bard College is an educational institution. So that was specifications or definitions of community, and I was also interested in types of community engagement. So one would expect to see community advisory or steering boards. That's a very common structure for community engagement. And interestingly, we also had education and training for community members. Every single one of the institutions mentioned that. And then you have others that start to come out directing researchers to communities, so creating like a liaison who would help researchers identify community organizations or community partners in their work, and various others. And what's interesting about this slide is that you miss some of what I think is most interesting. Because if you see, let me see if I can get the pointer. Yeah, so Community Research Center. I think because the CTSAs are potentially a source of innovation, in some sense, what's less frequently mentioned may be the most interesting thing about these grants, because that's really potentially a source of innovation. Community advisory boards may be innovatively applied, but they're not an innovation in and of themselves. So I think that that's a source of interesting development. So again, we have education for the community. You have some language around how are we going to educate the communities, taking particularly multicultural communities and giving them the language that's used by a Western medical academic medical institution. And then, again, you have talk of a collaborative research process, and 11 of the institutions mentioned this. And it's really creating an active partnership between the institution and the community, in which the community is involved throughout the process of the research, from the beginning of identifying research priorities all the way through developing research design and then evaluating the findings. Okay? And then this is what I have found the most interesting among the process, is this development of a community research center. And so you can see, just around the language that they've used here, is that this is actually moving the locus of research into the community, locating it in the community. And I think that that's a very interesting structure that is perhaps unique to a CTSA type of funding scheme, because I think a program or a project would suffer a lot of barriers to doing that. They might not have the funding, they might not have the time. Whereas a CTSA at an institutional level might have a little bit more ability to really develop that and sustain it. Okay? Interestingly, in addition to the definitions of community and community engagement, I found these structures to support community engagement. So they're not necessarily community engagement in and of themselves, but they help it along. So one of them is training for institutional researchers. It would make sense that if we're going to be sending more researchers out into the community, we'd want them to go into the community with some sense of what they're going to run into. You know, we want them to be educated. And then also financial support for community engagement. We had a couple of grants that specifically said this pot of money will be set aside to support community engaged research. Okay. So some of my preliminary findings, and this is all very preliminary, and one of the reasons I brought it here today is because I'm interested in a lot of input on it. So I think the definitions of community were largely expected based on what I'd read in the literature and based on my conversations with other people who have done community engaged research. Also, and I think this is also expected, there are several and overlapping definitions of community used by all of the grants. We want them to be having an expansive definition of community, so we would expect to see that, and all of them were indeed doing that. Interestingly, I think the care providers, which includes for this, the purposes of this study, all allied health professionals, those providers were definitely identified as a key community within the cohort of CTSAs that were writing their grants. And I think part of that might be based on the fact that these grants specifically focus on translating into practice change and really improving practice and provider change. So thinking of them as a real key community that needs to be engaged is important. Thank you. And then community engagement, again, the strategies were highly varied, and one would expect that as the communities are varied, so too are the engagement strategies. All CTSAs did have a community advisory board, but within that, there was actually a lot of variety. So some of them had a community advisory board that smushed together every different community that they were interested in. Others had separate community advisory boards for researchers, for the general community, for care providers. So there's a lot of variation within even just all having a community advisory board. All of them trained university faculty and staff in preparation for the work, and many included outreach and education for the community. Okay? And again, the community-based centers for research. You can tell that that's where I really think there's some interesting stuff. So this study is not without its limitations. The grants themselves are only about 15 pages long to talk about community engagement. And as anyone in here who's written a grant knows, a lot of interesting stuff gets left on the cutting room floor. And we can't know what that's about. So that's one reason why we have the interviews subsequently, is to know sort of what got left off, why were these decisions made, to get a little bit more background on that. Also, one of the important conversations that probably got left on the cutting room floor is the level of funding for the community engagement core. So we don't know what negotiation happened prior to the grant actually being submitted as to what the community engagement core could expect, because it's fighting other cores for money. Thank you. And then we also don't know what happened once it was reviewed and whether or not the study section said, oh, that's great, but here's half the funding to do it. So that's going to be another one of the questions for the interviews themselves. And then again, with the exception of one institution who had named a community partner for part of the community engagement core as part of the support structure and the administrative structure of the core, for the most part, this is all academic medical institutions saying what they will do. So it's hard to know what the community looks like. We don't have their voice yet. So the next steps to get some of that is we're going to analyze the 2010 grants to know what the change has been over the past 5 years and determine if certain types of engagement have grown or dropped, and then also interview CTSA staff and administrators. So I'd like to acknowledge everyone who's helped me get along this process, and this is a very short list, for in reality there were many more.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Okay, we did it. We have a new developmental depression. So we did all the good stuff, right? I didn't hear any of the bad, the ugly stuff. Can we find questions that create the bad stuff? Madam. That was a comment. Right. All right. Jessica, by the way, make sure that you want to be seen, etc. Any question? Any other question? Or remark? Yes, ma'am. Sir.
Looking at the
Is this request an answer?
Yes. Okay. I'm glad I'm doing it too. And I think I agree with you that there's a lot that's left out of the grant analysis. One of the reasons that I started with the grant analysis is that it's hard. No one knows what's going on.
Right.
I don't have any relationships to disclose, so I guess I don't have anyone to offend. But no one knows what's going on, which is just kind of ironic, given that this is a translational, like, collaborative. The whole purpose is to get people talking. So, I think it's highly valuable, and everyone who I've talked to about it has been gung ho. So I appreciate it.
A huge shift in what an NIH's paradigm has been over for the time that's
just
been.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You don't have a
All right, other questions? May I pump? No, I'm not here. So, I had a question about the Houston database collection. There are several cities that now use this material. Does that create a situation? In Philadelphia, we have a situation where we have to sponsor that, we have to pay for it, for the services. How is this developing in Houston? Is this a database that you can use? I have no idea to turn it off. Is this a database that is being made available for sale? Can it be repeated in the future? How are you organizing this material for marketing purposes?
Okay, the last little bit, marketing purposes, we're definitely not there. So I'll start with how you get to the data. Immediately we have a public use data file which will be available to anybody for free. It's, you know, just in it, there's an agreement that just says you understand that we're protecting confidentiality and whatever else. It's the standard stuff you have to sign in order to get data sets. Anyway, and but for people that aren't as familiar with using different kinds of analytical software or whatever else, we also have that instant atlas thing I showed, which will do a display of all the rates of diabetes in sub-county areas. We've got 28 areas in Harris County. Harris County, for those of you that aren't familiar, is actually bigger than, like, what's it, like 10 or 11 states? So, there's a team member where I can quote that off, but I can't remember. But something like that. Anyway, and so there's lots of data at county level, and there's not a lot at sub-county. And that's what we've been able to do. And it's available, it will be available for free. As far as the future, you mentioned the future. We currently don't have funding for the next round. We are hoping with the demonstration of how this is being used by the community, that we'll get multiple foundations, maybe some hospitals, to be interested and to help fund it together in collaboration as opposed to one funder. Mm-hmm. The good news is with this first round, it's really nice to have one funder, so we didn't have to, they actually wanted a gift to the community. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have to kind of please multiple masters, they didn't tell us what they wanted on the questionnaire. We had a lot of flexibility to be able to respond and try and make something useful.
Okay, all right. Yes, I have the feeling that all the urban markets have to develop their own way of organizing this wealth of data that comes available.
Absolutely.
But because of the money crunch, it's going to go all kind of directions.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Other questions?
Could I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to ask you a question about the, will you be tracking the use of the data and sort of getting a sense of who's using it and whether it's individuals or like community organizations and that sort of stuff?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And there's actually, I mean, lots of discussion from the team about how best to do that because, the researchers in us are saying, we want to know who they are and where they're coming from. Does that? And the other people are, no. We want you to be able to just click on it and get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the very basic level for that interactive website, we're really just going to use Google Analytics. It's going to tell us how many hits you get, how often, how far, does that. It may give you some more detailed information about your IP address and whatever else. So you can get some of that descriptive without having to make someone fill out a question, make someone do a 5 thing. I mean, you all have had 15, I'm sure, registration things and passwords for different things you go to. Now, once you get into more detailed data, once you want to download something, then, we need to know that you did fill out a form, and so we have to give you a password. But other than that, that's how we're tracking it. And once you get to that next level, and by the time you get to that next level of person downloading data, you're actually going to be dealing with academics. Like, generally, you're not, the capacity isn't quite there yet. Now, we'd like to train those, and we'd like to encourage that, and that's part of our funding is to try and bring that forward. But as far as tracking the community, we're trying to go for openness. And use Google Analytics.
Hi there. What are you doing? Long time no see, huh?
Professor. I was just wondering if any of the panelists could comment on like challenges or resistance that they may have faced in the community, and what happens when your priorities and objectives might not align with what the community necessarily prioritizes.
Thank you,
Mr. Orton,
with the Law Community Partners. You have to learn how to let go of the ownership, and we have one partner who has a hard time doing that, and it causes problems with some of our other partners, but we just always try to reinforce to them, like, we're all in this together, nobody owns this program, it's a community-based program, and that seems to work, so I think being able to let go of ownership and community collaboration is important.
We also have some problems, or some issues regarding the data. You know, at the very beginning, we did not have a specific protocol regarding the ownership of the data. In one project we have been doing, we collect the data in 2009, and up till today, we don't have any publication out of that data. So there is also a tension between academic and the community. Community, they want to take the lead in writing a paper, but they are really busy in carrying out the project. And so I've been working with them in the past 2 months, analyze the data, and we have picked up speed the paper writing. And it's always like for junior faculty, junior researcher who are really interested to get something published or perished. There is also always the tension between people doing academic people doing CBPR, and the suggestion I get from my professor says, on one hand, do your own data analysis, not using the data you collected together with the CBPR, with the community partnership, do a second data analysis. Like, I'm also doing second data analysis with some other national data sets. And on the other hand, keep on doing with the community. That really put a lot of pressure on me. I have to work on weekend at the summer. So that's always the tension here. And we heard about from Nina Wallace last week when she was in NYU. She also talked about this process, and they are working toward rewarding community engagement as part of the community service. As part of the university service. So it's a real long way. There's all the tension.
On that topic, you have the whole problem of publication, then you cross disciplines, or you work across disciplines, and you get into journals that your own tenure committee is not acknowledging as journals that are acceptable. So the whole community participatory research that we now do builds on a front line where the universities are actually lagging in their bureaucratic structures. We have a lot of work to do to clean that up. Yeah, we have our own community is not collaborating, so in that sense. So I had a little follow-up question also with respect to the topics that came around about childhood obesity, and often there are possibilities of working together with other kinds of activities that are also needed in the community. The way we shape these things up is often by having one particular topic and then go for that, like childhood obesity. And do you in any which way or form collaborate on other elements as well, like for example violence reduction programs and things like that? Is there any kind of crossover in reaching the community?
I work a lot with the schools, and I run their coordinated school health, so I address all 8 components of coordinated school health as well on top of the childhood obesity. Clearly, I like to focus on the nutrition and the physical activity and the food service there. But there's, state routes to school and, facilities, molds, allergens in the air and all kinds of other pediatric health issues mm-hmm. that are addressing, you know, probably linked somehow to that, but.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to, I'm not on the panel, but I'd like to respond to your question. I think it's important in doing this kind of work that we are running two tracks at the same time. We're actually working on a specific issue, but we're also building the capacity of communities to ask and answer their own problems. So we're building capacity, we're mm-hmm. establishing an infrastructure to do that at the same time that we're addressing a particular issue. Mm,
right. Everybody could hear that, right? I'm not going to. Right. Okay, any more questions? Not so. Then I wish you all very well. Have a happy and social, etc.